There are only 17 Republican women in the House today. The GOP struggling with its identity at the moment. Is gender a part of the problem? Now I'm talking about my women
problems, because I got me some women problems. Accusations of sexism are flying on Capitol Hill involving House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the National Republican Congressional Committee. Well, the NRCC put out a statement saying, quote, taxpayers can only hope McChrystal is able to put her in her place. Put her in her place? They want a man to put the first female Speaker of the House of Representatives in her place?
The GOP has been working hard to recruit women with disappointing results, but one high-profile conservative woman is making headlines. Is Sarah Palin the model for the new Republican woman? I need help with my women problems, because I can't escape my women problems. Women problems on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, November 17th. I'm Celeste Headlee here with John Hockenberry. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Celeste. You can't escape Sarah Palin this week, that's for sure. True. Also on the program, you may feel lucky if you have a job these days, but some research says workers are also feeling more magnanimous, dare we say ethical, on the job. Also, reducing carbon to stop global warming, Al Gore gets a dose of super freakonomics, and a football midseason injury report for some teams. Ouch.
But first, New Jersey State Senator Jennifer Beck is joining us this morning. Jennifer, let me ask you, why is the GOP struggling now more than it was, to say, 10 years ago, to recruit women and then get them elected to office?
I actually don't think we are struggling to recruit women. I actually was going to comment on that. I know my experience in New Jersey is that more women are stepping up to the plate and interested in running as a Republican.
Well, the Republican Congressional Committee says they're having trouble recruiting women and getting them elected.
Yeah, I'm a state senator in New Jersey, so I don't know if at the congressional level
maybe it's easier on the local level than on the national.
You know, for the state Republican Party, we're seeing just the opposite. We're seeing a lot of women at the local, at the county, and at the state level very interested in running for office.
Okay, do you feel Sarah Palin is a good role model for women in the Republican Party?
I think any time you have a woman running on a presidential ticket, that's a good thing for women. And I do think she was a good role model. She's someone that came from a modest beginning, mayor of her own town, became governor, and then eventually achieved the level of running for national office. And I think that is a positive role model for young women, no question.
One of the role models you've pointed to is Christy Todd Whitman, a former governor. And she's no longer in office. And some people say that women like Christy Todd Whitman and Didi Scozzafava in New York were pushed aside because they were moderate. Is there room for moderate women in the Republican Party?
Absolutely. You know, I look around now, and of course you have the icons like Kay Bailey Hutchinson and mm-hmm. Olympia Snowe, but there are a whole group of young women that are coming up in the party, like Heidi Ganseret, who's the Assembly Minority Leader in Nevada, and Lynn Finnegan, who's the Minority Leader in Hawaii, and Shannon Jones in the Ohio House, and Karen Handel, who's the Georgia
Secretary. Sounds like there's a lot of them.
Governor.
We are going to talk. We're going to talk more about this in just a moment. That's New Jersey State Senator Jennifer Beck. But first, everything else you need to know this morning.
It's President Obama being introduced at a news conference in Beijing this morning, where he says a revised economic policy between the two nations would be rewards to both the U.S. and China.
This will lead to increased U.S. exports and jobs on the one hand, and higher living standards in China on the other.
The two leaders also addressed climate change and nuclear proliferation, and it comes as a new report shows Iran's construction of a secret uranium site is at an advanced stage. The International Atomic Energy Agency says the underground site could start production in a little over a year.
Sarah Palin's memoir comes out today. It's already been a bestseller for weeks. And what we're asking you, her new book is called Going Rogue, An American Life. And one of the things we're asking listeners is, does Palin have a sequel coming? And if so, what's the title of it?
My title for Sarah Palin's second novel would be, Hey, Am I Relevant? You Betcha.
Let us know what you think at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. Coming up, we're going to talk more about Republican women.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
As John mentioned earlier, you can't escape Sarah Palin this week. That's because
new way.
Her autobiography is hitting shelves today. It's called Going Rogue, An American Life. And there was a lot of chatter yesterday about her appearance on Oprah.
Does that mean you're reloading for 2012?
I'm concentrating on 2010 and making sure that we have issues tackled as Americans to make sure that we're
Would
on the right
even tell
road.
Me you were thinking about it.
No, I wouldn't. Not on its own.
She's not going to tell anybody if she's running again, but her book seems like it's setting up Sarah Palin for another run. One of the things she does in there, she constantly makes mention of Ronald Reagan, in some cases comparing herself to Ronald Reagan. And she also, during her book tour, is visiting all the battleground states. So to talk about this, we invited a couple guests with firsthand insight, Republican political consultant Mary Madeline and Christy Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey and head of the EPA under George Bush. They join us now. So Mary, let's start with you. As I said, she's visiting all the major battleground states during her book tour. Does this appear to you as a clear sign that she's going to be running again?
Not necessarily. I'm going to take off my political hat, put on my publishing hat. I work for Simon & Schuster, run the Threshold line, and it would be disingenuous for any publisher to not send her to places where she can sell the most number of books. But as the governor will tell you, you can't run till you're ready to run, and she's not. I don't see this as necessarily a precursor to a run.
Do you not think she's ready to run quite yet?
I don't. Please, let's not take that out of context. You're not, I mean, ready to run in the sense that you can't have a strategy until it's clear what kind of environment you're working in and running in. And right. I am presuming from my 30 years of working in politics that the 2012 environment is going to look considerably different after the midterms of 2010.
So Christy, there is actually a lot of discussion about the role of women in the GOP right now. There's only about less than 10% of House Republicans are women, and 10% of the Republican senators are women. Why are there so few females in the GOP right now compared to Democrats?
Well, frankly, I don't think either party has done the job they could or should do with women. But when I look at it, I look down the ballot a little bit, and the numbers get even more sort of dislocated at the state legislature level and the lower level, the mayoral level. And that's where we need to really put our focus and be encouraging of women. But I've always found that women hold each other to a higher standard than they do their male counterparts. And that's been part of the challenge that women, particularly in the Republican Party, I think have had. That women don't support them in the way that we might support a man coming to us with the same kind of background, the same kind of credentials, and the same position on issues. And why that would be more prevalent in the Republican Party than in the Democrat Party, I don't know. But I don't think either party has come anywhere near to doing what they should be doing to encourage women to run.
Well, there seems to be, there is an identity crisis going on in the Republican Party right now, kind of a characterized by the recent race in northern New York. Here's a Didi Scazzafava. She spoke on the Rachel Maddow show last week.
Any party that just tries to purge members that might have any sort of independent thinking, I think eventually will run itself into very much of a minority status.
Mary, some people have said that this identity crisis is partly over women, because women in the Republican Party often, statistically at least, tend to be more centrist than their male counterparts. And there appears to be a split in the Republican Party between the more moderate members of the party and those who are further to the right.
This is an old argument that got started over the abortion issue, which was much bigger than the actual act of abortion for women. But the legacy of that argument and what's a moderate and what's a conservative and all that, that's not how women think. Women are practical. And if you want to label them, I'd say they're more purple and practical than anything else. And this sort of purging and all of that business is just a template that the press loves.
Okay, well then Mary, let's just ask it directly. Does Sarah Palin have a constituency within the GOP leadership, the people who are going to determine how the campaign goes after 2010, or is she auditioning at this point?
The GOP leadership does not determine who the GOP candidates are. That was the problem in New York 23. A bunch of men behind closed doors picked a candidate. The why I joined the Republican Party is because I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative before I'm a Republican, and conservatives tend to be grassroots people. They listen to candidates. They connect. They like retail politics.
Right, I understand, Mary.
Notion that there's some bosses that are going to pick the candidates is wrong.
But the men picked Sarah Palin. All I'm saying is she a tried and true political asset, or is she someone who's just out in the fringe?
The way, only way to know that is to look at the polls, and the polls are split on her. Is she polarizing? Yes. Is Barack Obama polarizing? Yes. He's the most polarizing president in history, and the fastest falling approval ratings in history. No one talks about him being out on the fringe, but he's as polarizing as she is. So she, which means people love her, which the press tends not to focus on. Equal numbers of people love her more than they love other would-be candidates, and with the same intensity that people don't like her.
Well, Christy, let me ask you, because I have a dear friend who's a longtime Republican, who, when Sarah Palin was nominated and all the to-do over Sarah Palin and in her interview with Katie Couric and all those other things, my friend was really insulted that Sarah Palin was the choice because she felt there were so many other talented and brilliant Republican women who could have been chosen. And I have to ask you, you know, with so many people saying perhaps Sarah Palin is the future of women in the GOP, I'm wondering what your reaction is to that.
Well, there's certainly a portion of the GOP that's very attracted to her. There's no question about that. She did what she was supposed to do, I guess, but what they wanted her to do in the McCain campaign, which was energize the base. So the irony is they did get the base out, and we still got our heads handed to us. So that should be a lesson there. Now, I agree with what Mary said earlier about the women, and certainly in the Republican Party, being practical and pragmatic. And we're getting marginalized because there are certain social issues that are being used now as a litmus test to determine your suitability for office. And that just isn't the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be solving problems, the problems that the people in general care about. And most people don't sit down over their dining room table and worry about abortion rights or gay marriage. They worry about, can they pay the rent? What are they going to do about medication? What are they going to do with their children's education? And that's where we need our focus. Obviously, Sarah Palin is someone that appeals to a certain faction within the party, but I don't think it's the faction that you can use to build upon to have a successful nationwide coalition and become a really vibrant party again.
We're going to have to end it there, Christy, but thank you so much. That's Christy Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey and former head of the EPA under George W. Bush. Also, Mary Madeline, longtime Republican political strategist. Thanks to both of you. We're asking you, name Sarah Palin's next book. Her new one hits the shelves today, Going Rogue. What would you call the next chapter in the life of the former Alaskan governor? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. In the meantime, it's 15 minutes past the hour, and it's time to take a check on the top stories.
Ceremonial arrival music there for President Obama at the Great Hall of the People in Beijing, speaking alongside China's President Hu Jintao. President Obama said China has played a crucial role in America's economic recovery.
So far, China's partnership has proved critical in our effort to pull ourselves out of the worst recession in generations.
But there were some tough words for China as well. The president urged the Chinese to resume dialogue with the exiled Tibetan spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama. For his part, the Chinese president stressed the need for China and the United States to reject all forms of economic protectionism. On a lighter note, President Obama took a tour of Beijing's Forbidden City this morning. He described it as spectacular.
As we've been talking about, Sarah Palin's book comes out today called Going Rogue. Here she is on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
I have a message, and the message, I think, is written well and articulately in the book about where I think America could go and should go, and about the unity in America that we need in order to progress.
Going Rogue, An American Life, already a bestseller. 20 years ago today, a student march in Prague was broken up by riot police. That event led to the collapse of communism in what was then Czechoslovakia. Here's a reporter from our partner, the BBC, on the streets of Prague 20 years ago today. He said the peal of church bells and scream of sirens and car horns resounding all over Prague on the anniversary today. That's a look at some of the stories we're watching this morning. Coming up, we're going to get a briefing later today on the Fort Hood shootings and the politics of it's already getting very, very contentious. We'll talk about that more in a few minutes.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.